Okay. I don't know if this is going to do it as like a now another recording, a second recording, or if it just picks up from where it left off, but it says it's recording. So it better be.
Fingers crossed. I know. Decompress after our vent sesh.
That's I know. How
we,
I'm like,
that's how we should start everything is a vent sesh. We get it off our chest. And then we're like, okay, hello everyone.
Welcome to publishing.
Where venting is necessary.
Yeah. I'm Jeannie Vallette Bowerman.
And I'm Kira Duggan.
And you are listening to The Story Will Save You. So you guys know we're just like you and we're struggling and we work and we try to write on the side and we're just gonna have a lot of fun with this podcast. And
I like that there's like no prep because I'm like when we were saying like, okay, here's a pot. I was like, I can't prep. I can like hop on and have a convo, but like, because then I would start dreading it.
I would overthink it.
I would just dread it. I'd be like, oh my God, I need to do this. And then half the time, if you prep, it goes a different way anyway. So it's like, what's the point?
I know. So everyone should just get used to the fact that we are winging it, like winging it people. But there's certain things. Okay. First of all, stop. Welcome to The Story We'll Save You. So I think we all have an idea of how this podcast is going to go. So I want to have the honor of introducing our listeners to Kira Duggan. Is it Duggan or Dugan?
Duggan.
Duggan. See, that's how well I know Kira.
We're doing well. We're off to a good start. Although my neighbors growing up were the Dugans. So we got each other's mail all the time. Fun fact.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's not, but that's okay.
I grew up in the country, so I didn't really have a lot of neighbors. We had some pigs.
They're neighbors. It's fine.
They are. And they were delicious.
Oh.
Oh, God. Sorry. Okay. New subject. We're going back to Kira. Kira and I work together at Book Pipeline, and I really absolutely love working with Kira. And I just want everybody to know how great she is. And so we're having this podcast. So it's the two of us. And some of you guys may know me from Reckless Creators podcast. I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about Kira.
We'll get to you, Jeannie.
We'll get to me. So Kira is also a mom of an adorable kid, but I'll let you tell him. So Kira, I'm curious to know, because I always want to know what got people into writing. Like you hear all these people say, oh, I always knew I wanted to be a writer since I was 4 years old. I don't buy that shit, but okay. Well, tell us your story.
That was definitely not me. I don't know even how to explain it. Growing up, I loved reading. I loved watching movies. English and reading and all that were like my favorite subjects in school. But for some reason, it never clicked with me that like being a writer was something you could do. I don't know why. It was just like something other people did, but like never something that clicked that, oh, that's something you could do. So I hate to say it, but I think it was when I was an undergrad, I read a book and I loved the story, but the writing was terrible. I'm not going to say what book it was because I still really admire the author. Not that she will probably be listening to this, but anyways, I was like, the writing is really not good. And I was like, but I love the story. And I feel like if this got published and sold millions of copies, then like maybe this is something I could do. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote a book, and obviously it was the first book I ever wrote. It was terrible. I included every trope. It was like a young adult fantasy, every trope that was popular at the time, like terrible writing. It was just not good, but I loved it. I just loved it. And that led me to go get my MFA, like a year. I graduated undergrad, and then during that year, I applied for grad school. So I went and got my MFA in screenwriting from Boston University because I was like, oh, I love movies. Like I should screenwrite. And I still love screenwriting and love movies, but I think the more I wrote, the more I realized I just love writing books instead of screenplays. There's just a bit more freedom. Also just the industry side just feels a bit more attainable, which is nice. But yeah, so that was basically how I got into writing. How about you, Jeannie? How did you get into writing?
You know, I always wrote as a kid, not as a five-year-old, but I wrote like in high school, I wrote these teenager angst poems. And I keep telling Sadie at Reckless Creatives, and we moved, and I somehow found that that like spiral notebook of angsty poems. And now I lost them again, but they're here somewhere. And one of these days on Reckless Creatives, I'm going to read one of my angsty poems.
Oh my God.
Terrible. They're terrible. I know. I don't know if I do need to, but I think you need to.
It's now in demand.
Yeah. And my dad worked for New York State. He was like this chief budget examiner or whatever. But so he was never like artistic, but my mother would always say to him, you should write romance novels. You should like write, you know. And my dad was a great writer. And he used to write this little column in our newspaper, and they paid him $10 a week to write this little, it was kind of like this little gossipy column, but he turned it into like this the history of our little neighborhood. And he loved history. And so my dad would always say to me, like when I'd be writing essays for school or papers, he would always just rip my stuff apart with the red marker. It would look like somebody had bled all over my page, like in editing, not in giving it your all. So I always had this high bar for quality of writing, but never quite felt that anybody would want to read anything I had to say. So even in college, when I took writing courses, and I was talking about this with you and Isabel, you know, my professor was like, you need to be writing, you know, you should be a writer. Why are you going to the hotel school? You should be a writer. And I just was too insecure. And honestly, the first time I was like, I want to be a writer, I was 40 years old.
That's like inspiring though.
I guess that kind of reveals that I'm really old now. I don't know if I want to say it, but I guess I should own it. I don't know.
Okay, it's just a number.
That's right. It's just a number. But I have to tell you, I'm waking up now. Okay, I'm 60. Okay, I'm just going to say I'm 60.
60 is the new 40, isn't it? That's what they say.
Whatever. But I got to tell you, every day when I lay my head down on the pillow, I'm not even kidding you. This sounds depressing, but I'm just going to say it. I say to myself, oh my God, that's one less day I have.
And that's terrible.
I know, isn't it? I think I need therapy. But it's partly because, you know, how much time you have in the day. You've got 24 hours in the day. Like you've got family, you've got a job, you've got a podcast, you've got like, I have an antique shop too. I've got a lot of stuff going on. And it's like, where do you find time for writing and not beating yourself up? But before we get into that, just to finish, you know, our entry into the writing world, I started writing a book when I was 40. I didn't have a clue how to write a book. And I immediately got pulled into screenwriting from one of my friends from college who said, oh, write a screenplay. It's easier. And which is not true. And she knows it's not true now, but at the time when we were first starting. But I'm so glad I started screenwriting because I learned so much about story and writing cinematically and made so many great connections. And I have no regrets starting off screenwriting. I think it helps an author become a novelist, you know, write your book so it's a fast read, so people have to keep turning the page. I think there's so many skills that are
100% great. Agree. Totally.
So I did write a book. It was my test book. And it was, I'll just say it, it was an erotica. Did you know that about me?
I did not know that.
And
now, now I'm looking at you differently.
Oh God. And we could talk about that one day, like in our little, one of our 15-minute bite-sized things, because I have this really cool thesaurus. Oh, there's God. Only so many ways you could say these things. Zero interest in writing another. It's zero. But it was something I wrote when my daughter was in college because the sorority sisters were all obsessed with 50 Shades of Grey. And right. I was like, that is a terribly written book. And the tagline for my book was, love doesn't have to hurt to be hot. And
wait, that's so good.
I know, right? And I do have the first book done and I was going to write a trilogy. And the first book was about how really you have to love yourself first. And the second was actually, and maybe I will finish the trilogy, but the second was about how it was repairing her relationship with her best friend. The third was then her trying to get the guy she should be with back.
I like it. I think you should keep going with it.
Yeah.
And I'll read it.
And I think I might like phase out all the heavy sex a little bit as I go along.
Tame it down a little.
Tame it down a little bit. And I could actually take the first book and just turn it into less sexy and more romance.
You could have two versions. You can release the regular romance version. And then after it gets huge, you're like, no, here's the X-rated version.
Here's the dirty version.
Enjoy. It leaves little to the imagination. God.
So that's how the benefit of doing that was just to see if I liked writing a novel, and I loved it. Loved it. So goodbye, screenwriting. I am now much more interested in writing novels. And now I'm working on an historical fiction novel. So
amazing.
Working on, in quotes, which brings us to juggling writing and life, which is really what we wanted to talk about. So this, normally our episodes are going to be like 15, 20 minutes, unless we're doing an interview. But this one, since it's our introductory, might be a little bit longer because you need to know who the hell we are.
Yes. I guess that's important.
And we're fun. So subscribe.
Keep telling them that. We are fun. I swear.
We are fun.
I promise.
We don't know what the hell we're doing, but we're fun. What I also think is great is we come from two different perspectives of life. You are with a young kid. My kids are older. One is married. You know, none of them live with me. So I think it's really good because we'll have two different perspectives. And yes. Kira and I also did a part one and part two article on Pipeline Artists, which was awesome because hers was about feeling like time was running out because she was about to have a baby. And mine was about feeling like time was running out because I'm going to die.
It's just so morbid. It gets more and more morbid. I think we both need therapy.
Well, we should have my daughter on as a guest once because she's a therapist.
That would be lovely.
Doesn't it explain so much that I birthed a therapist?
Oh, well, that means she's probably processing very healthily all the damage you've done to her.
Yeah, that's probably why she had to become a therapist to get over.
Well, that's every single day with Finn. I'm like, oh, I'm damaging you right now, aren't I? Like, this is going to lead to therapy. You won't even know why, but it will.
Can you talk a little bit about how you juggle everything and how you handle the disappointment on the days that months, years that you can't write?
Sure. More fun. So I'm very lucky. My son is, 14 months now, nearly 15 months. And when I first had him, it was like a shock to the system because for some reason, I was like, oh, I'll just like take a month off and then I'll like get back to it and it's fine and no big deal. But it was a very big deal and it was a big shock to the system. And thankfully, my husband was able to take a little bit more time off work because I did end up going back to work after 1 month, which even my gynecologist was like, do you think that was a good idea? So no, it was not a good idea, but I did it anyways. Yeah, out of full transparency, I was diagnosed with postpartum depression because it was just a lot to handle. Went on meds for it, no shame. And they were really helpful. No shame, really helpful. I'm off them now. So that's an interesting adjustment, but it's another podcast.
Yeah.
But basically, once my husband went back to work, I had to kind of figure out, all right, I'm taking care of this child while also trying to work. First of all, I'm very thankful I'm in a position where I can work from home and take care of him without having to put him in daycare because daycare is insanely expensive. And so grateful that I'm actually in a position where I can do this. And Book Pipeline also is just very understanding and very flexible, which is lovely. But so I'm also learned that I was very lucky that he's a very good napper. And so for the first few months, I was able to basically during his naps, just like charge ahead and get all my work done. I've also become so much more efficient knowing that this is the time I have and this is like what you have to get done and that's that. And if it doesn't get done, there's definitely that inner voice of like, wow, this sucks. I'm terrible. How am I ever going to be a working human again? Let alone, and this is all just work. This is not writing. Right. I only just started writing probably like 3 weeks ago. So, but yeah. And then as he got older, he became a better independent player. So I was able to work while he was playing by himself in his corner with his cute little books and all that stuff.
So how do you squeeze in writing now? You said 3 weeks ago you figured out now I can start to write. So where do you put that time in your day?
So my husband and I have these money dates where we basically go out to dinner and like figure out our finances.
And that sounds horrible.
It's horrible, but we allow ourselves to order like whatever we want. And there's probably like a glass of wine or a cup of whiskey or something in there. So
it's a money date about money, but you go and get a really expensive dinner.
It's not always expensive, but it makes it fun. It's the only way we'll do it. So it's better than not doing it at all. But anyways, so this money date kind of devolved into us talking about like building better habits and like exercising and eating healthy, like meal prep. And for me, it's like writing, and for him, it's other businessy things that he wants to do. So we basically agreed on like a wake up schedule. So every other day he'll wake up, take care of Finn, and I go work out, write, do whatever I need to do. And every other day I'll get up with Finn and he'll go work out, do whatever he needs to do. And
I love that.
Yeah, it's actually working out really well. We've been doing it for like 2 weeks now.
Yay.
3 weeks now. I can't keep count. Time means nothing anymore. But basically, so on the days he's up with Finn, I will go work out. And then I'll try, if like work is light, I'll try to squeeze in a few hundred words. If it's not, then it's okay if I don't write that day. Because then the mornings I get up with Finn, those are like my dedicated writing mornings. I will not feel guilty if I put a show on for Finn to watch so he sits there quietly and I will write in the background. That was something I really had to get over. It was like, you're doing the best you can. If you're putting on TV for him and he's getting a little extra screen time, like, it's okay. It doesn't matter. He will survive. You will survive. It's all good. Oh, and that was the other thing. I think we talked about this with Isabel as well. It was like not beating yourself up if you're not writing every single day. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was always like, you have to write every single day. Otherwise, you're totally failing. But I'm really trying to let go of that. And so if I write every other day, even just a little bit, then I've succeeded. Sometimes I don't believe myself, but I just keep telling myself that it's okay and you're doing well. So that's what's working for me at the moment. You, Jeannie, have like a billion things going on in your life. How do you get time or don't get time? And how might you try and get time to write?
My life sucks. Like,
don't say that while you're drinking water. I nearly just spat it all over the microphone.
Well, I mean, I have a job. I also have an antique shop. So that's 15 hours a week on top of the full-time job. And I also, for those who don't know, I run a cemetery.
I don't know why that's funny.
I got sucked into that. And none of this is for pay, by the way. Like, that, the only thing I get paid to do is work for Pipeline. And I also run this little political watchdog group for our town, because our town board sucks and tend to be a little too involved. And there's a bunch of other things I do, all volunteer. I really, really like to give back to the community. So that's my problem. To learn to say no, like,
yes,
no.
Just keep saying. Yeah. Like you said to doing this podcast.
Right. I was like, oh, sure.
One more thing to your plate.
Do a podcast. I have to be super, super organized. And when I'm trying to get back in this routine, because what, over the years, since I'm old, half dead.
Half dead. Oh my God.
I have learned that the best time for me to write is in the morning. And before I get even involved with anything else, like, to just do that in the morning, because even if I'm only writing, even if it's just a half an hour, it puts me in a good mood. It makes me feel like I put myself first. And then the story, I'm thinking about it all day long, but I am not successful at the everyday thing. And it took me years to let that go and not feel bad about it. Because everyone, if you go on X or any social media platform, they're all like, you have to write every day. You have to write every day. If you're a real writer, you're writing every day. Well, you know what? Piss off. Amen. It doesn't work for everyone. And there's no rule all that matters is you make progress. So mm-hmm. whatever works for you. And when I wrote that test novel, I did it on the weekends. Like I never wrote during the week. I worked a little bit on Saturday or Sunday, like just one of those days. And I, next thing you knew, it took me a few months and I had the whole thing done. I want to get back to that. It's hard for me because I only have one day off a week, which is Sunday. Oy. Because of the store. So then when I have the one day off, I got stuff to do. And we're
renovating. You also have life to live. Like you want to do fun things and like not everything needs to be work all the time.
I know. I think the thing that I have to work on is not feeling like I have to clear my whole slate. Like I like to, before I even get out of bed, I'm opening my emails to see what's waiting for me. I think it's a bad thing though. I think I should just, if anyone is listening and you have some tips about how to just jump right into writing, like there's a group on Twitter, the 5 a.m. Writers Club.
Oh, I know.
Maybe I need to put a tweet out. Well, I guess you don't call them tweets anymore. A post out and hashtag them and say, how do you wake up and start writing and not look at your emails first, not look at anything first, just dive right in. That's a me problem.
I'm the exact same way though. Like I'm trying to write my new book off my laptop, which has absolutely no work things on it.
Mm.
Whereas I'm leaving all my work emails. Like I won't even let them go to my phone. I have them all on my iMac. So that's how I've kind of avoided that. I'm like, okay, you're like this laptop. I mean, and not everyone has the luxury of having a laptop and a desktop. So I fully understand that. But for me, it's been so helpful being like, this laptop is for writing. If I open it, there are no emails there.
I've actually heard of people doing that before. Like they have like a little, like a cheap, like they go buy like a cheap little word processor kind of thing, like a Chromebook or.
Yeah.
I mean, for we're doing historical stuff. I do like to always be able to access the internet so I can go quickly look something up. But I like that idea.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I've only been doing it for 3 weeks. So we'll see if it stays that way. But so far, so good.
I'm way too connected. I need to not be so connected.
So Finn did wake up. I don't know if you heard him screaming in the background, but he seems content playing with his socks at the moment. So
you know what? I like this idea. So when we record our podcasts, when Finn starts screaming, that's our heart out.
Oh, the baby's up. The podcast should be just called The Baby's Up.
The Baby's Up. Hopefully some of the stuff that we talked about how we write and what our process is and or what our process isn't has been helpful to you. And when you go to bed tonight, try not to think about how you have one less day to live.
You should turn it on its head and be like, I just had a wonderful day of my life. Not that like that's one day over. Be like, I just lived that day to the fullest. I don't know.
But did I?
But did I?
The Story Will Save You is a Pipeline Artists original podcast. Like, subscribe, and follow us on social media at Pipeline Artists and at Book Pipeline. For more information, visit pipelineartists.com and bookpipeline.com, where we have contests for unpublished manuscripts as well as for published books that would make great adaptations for either film or television. Learn more about our efforts to help writers find publishing success on bookpipeline.com. Until next time, let the story save you.